Greetings, this is James Gillen with World Pooja. We've got another great show tonight. We've got Max Egan, and Max has always had a way of just cutting through the crap and, in simple terminology, getting to the meat of the matter on so many things. If you haven't come across Max Egan's work, you really haven't been paying attention because it's all over the net, and I would strongly suggest doing so. So without any further ado, I just want to bring Max on the show. Max, are you with us?
Thanks for asking me on, James. Pleasure to be back on with you.
You know, there's so many avenues we can go here. And, you know, one of the first things I would love to talk about is there are so many things going down, you know, with the, I know the Swiss government, their parliament was going to raid the Bilderbergers meeting over there because, you know, it is a secret meeting in a democratic country, which is really not really good, especially when you're determining the future of the people. And then we've got the Spanish Revolution, which is totally blacked out over here. We don't even know what's going on, basically. And you know, with Greece and everything else. But I'd love to get your take on this whole unfolding. What seems to be going down, you know, on the planet.
Well, I think it's just that people are waking up to what's happening. I really do. I mean, it's great that they wanted to raid the Bilderberg meeting. So they should. I mean, we should know what these people are doing. They shouldn't be having secret meetings. And it's great what's happening in Spain as well, because it's peaceful non-compliance, what we're seeing in Spain. They've been just basically camping in town and sort of having this peaceful protest. It's been going since like mid-May now, I think.
yeah.
It's great. It's like the 15th of May, I think they started. They've had some violent encounters with police in Barcelona. I think it was on the 27th. The police came in and started basically attacking people with batons, trying to get them to move. But the people didn't respond. They didn't fight back. They took the beating. You know, it was not exactly nice, but they didn't respond with violence. So the police were not able to instigate the violence that they wanted to. So there was no way of moving the people on. So the people are really standing up to what's going on in the world. We're seeing Iceland also telling the IMF to take a hike. They're not going to pay that bill. People are just sort of waking up to what's happening, and people are starting to realize that it's no good having violent revolutions, although the Greek seem to like rioting, but I guess that's just their way. But people are waking up to the fact that peaceful non-compliance is the way to do it, and at least the people in Greece are standing up and doing something, so it's a start.
Yeah, I guess one of the topics at that meeting was Greece and saying that there is no way they could ever dig out from under the debt, and so they're pretty much writing Greece off, I guess, according to the powers that be. They just said, well, there's, you know, it's, you know, nothing we can do to bail this country out. And I think Ireland is also right behind that. And it seems like it's starting to build up in the UK again.
Well, there's nothing they can do but write them off. I mean, all the debt is fictional. It's all based on interest. It's all based on loans from the bank. I mean, it's all fiction. The whole lot's fiction. So people, I mean, the whole world basically needs to stand up and say, okay, well, let's take it all back to zero. Let's take the interest off money. Let's cancel all global debt. And we'll start again from here. Now, they used to cancel all debt every 7 years anyway back in the old days. That's why you had to keep your receipts for 7 years, because after 7 years they cancel all debt. But they don't do that anymore. And we need to start from scratch, because the whole money system is fictional anyway. I mean, all the interest on it and all that, it's all about the interest. That's what's created this whole situation. I was saying to someone the other day, I mean, have you ever considered the fact that you know, why you have to work so hard to make ends meet now, when actually nothing that you need in your life has gone up in value in the last 100 years? I mean, admittedly, there's things we have now that we didn't have 100 years ago, but when we're talking about, say, a suit and a pair of pants and a pair of shoes and a hat, well, these are the same price as what they were 100 years ago. Why do you have to work so hard to pay them? And people would say to me, well, hang on, you can't say they're the same price as they were 100 years ago. How can you say that? You know, back 100 years ago, I could buy a suit and a hat and a pair of shoes for $1.80, and now it costs me $1,500. How can you say it doesn't cost any more? And I'd use the example of gold. Then I can walk into a shop 100 years ago with an ounce of gold and buy a suit and a hat and a pair of shoes. And I can walk into a shop now with an ounce of gold and buy a suit and a hat and a pair of shoes. So nothing's actually gone up in value. It's just that money has gone down in value because it's a fiat currency. There's now so much of it in circulation that it's virtually not worth anything. And it's just paper. It's not real. It's just paper. It's just debt notes. And I've been using this sort of analogy of the ounce of gold and the suit and the hat to try to explain to people what's going on here and make them question why they have to work so hard when nothing at all has gone up in value.
Yeah, I always say that when I buy things, you know, for cash, I always say, don't you think it's odd that all I'm giving you is these little green pieces of paper and you're giving me this, you know, nice tangible farm equipment or something, you know, for these little green pieces of paper. It makes them think. They go, you know, that's true, you know. They almost want to take it back, you know, whatever I bought.
Well, it's just weird. It's just that people think the stuff's valuable, but really nothing's gone up in value. But everyone has to work so hard now to make ends meet because they need to collect this paper, but that's because the paper isn't actually money. If they were collecting gold or silver or something of that had intrinsic value, then they wouldn't have to work as hard because everything is still the same price now as what it was 100 years ago when you use a real currency such as gold. It's because we're using paper currency. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So it's just a way of hoping, you know, hopefully making people think a little bit because really nothing is worth anything more than what it ever was. It's just that paper's worth less.
Definitely. The now I know Abraham Lincoln in this country and Kennedy, both of them, you know, decided they were going to get rid of the Federal Reserve and start printing, you know, their own money, and both of them actually end up with a bullet in their head. But that does seem to be the only way out, is to start printing our own currency, drop the debt, drop the interest, and then everything would turn around in a heartbeat.
Well, it's the first thing that any government needs to do. If we want to even attempt to bring humanity back into some form of viable society, we need to take the interest off money straight away. We need to get money out of the hands of the private cartel it's currently in. It needs to be back in the hands of government, and we need to be printing our own interest-free money. We need to see money as a medium of trade, not as a form of debt slavery, which is what it is now, simply because of the interest that's attached to it. So that's the first thing that any government needs to do. Any honest politician needs to address this situation. I'd go so far as to say that any politician that doesn't address the situation of interest on money is simply not suitable for office. I mean, anybody who hasn't addressed this by now, I mean, if they don't know what's going on, then they're obviously too uninformed to really be in a position where they're making decisions that affect the lives of other people, for a start. And if they do know what's going on, then why aren't they speaking out about it? Because it's the cause of all shortage in the world, basically, is the interest on money. Get interest off money, and you'd solve 90% of the world's problems straight away.
Yeah, honest politician is the key. The you know, I imagine you probably heard that story about the you know, honest lawyer, truthful politician, and Mickey Mouse and the drunk walking down the road with a $5 bill.
No, you tell me.
Well, it was the $5 bill blew across the road. Which one of them ended up with the $5 bill?
I don't know.
The drunk. All the rest are fictitious characters.
Okay.
No, so,
gotcha.
No such thing as an honest lawyer or a truthful politician. But, you know, there are a few out there. I know, speaking of truthful politicians, Dennis Kucinich over here has just filed suit, I guess, against Obama for this illegal war in Libya. And, you know, every president, it seems like lately, has been jumping into these wars and not even asking Congress, no vote, nothing, and allowing NATO to just take over and take the reins of our military and our government, basically.
Well, it's all about banking system. That's what it's all about. The whole Libyan revolution had nothing to do with freeing the Libyan people. It was about installing a central bank. That's the first thing the revolutionaries did in order to free themselves, was to establish their own central bank. Oh, great. Yeah, we want our own central bank so we can all be enslaved to the IMF. I mean,
yeah.
Of course you would. I mean, Libya had the highest standard of living in the world. I mean, we can't have that, can we, as free people? We need to remove that, and we need to enslave ourselves to the global banking system, of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if people can't see that revolution was staged, well, perhaps they won't ever see anything.
Yeah, they had, I know they have not just oil, but they have this massive aquifer there with some of the freshest water on the planet. And he was actually bringing that water down and had all these, you know, billion-dollar water projects, you know, to turn his country around and increase, you know, food production, everything else. And now that's all probably going to go into the hands of, you know, some international cartel.
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's the thing. I mean, I'm sure there were people in Libya who maybe wanted change, but everything seemed to be going fine. I mean, and who's telling us Gaddafi is this terrible person? I mean, it's the mainstream media. These are the people that are doing everything else. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't believe a word you hear from the mainstream media, and you can't believe a word you hear from the government. So if they're saying one thing, then it's probably exactly the opposite that's going on, just going by their track record.
Oh, yeah. You know, we talked about that earlier about this comet Elenin coming in, and I think both of us feel the same way, is that there is such a mountain of disinformation out there, and we cannot trust NASA, and the equipment it would take to verify this is probably multi-million dollar equipment with a major infrared telescope up there and things of that nature. So it's a...
Yeah, well, a lot of people have been asking me about comet Elenin, and I really... don't really have much to comment on it at all, because I mean, what can I say? I mean, all I have is the information that is available to everybody. All I can do is search the internet and read the same articles that anybody else can. I can't go up there and have a look, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on. And even if it is this terrible doomsday event that people are predicting, well, it's a celestial event. There's very little I can do to avoid a celestial event or protect myself from a celestial event. I mean, you know, we're talking a planetary event, you know. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I believe in myself enough, and I believe in creation enough, and I believe in the synchronicity enough that I believe that if it is to be some type of catastrophic event, then creation will ensure that I'm in the right place at the right time to survive the event, if I'm supposed to survive it. If I'm not, well, that's fine too. I have absolutely no fear of death. This is just a transition. People seem to, I mean, a lot of people that look at all of this doomsday stuff, they seem to have a real fear of death, I think.
Yeah.
They like to be on the edge of their seat. I think death is actually the only thing in life that is truly inevitable. It's something that is absolutely unavoidable. So it seems like a pretty pointless exercise to go through life living in fear of that which comes after life. So yeah. I have no fear of death at all. So, I mean, I think it's all interesting, all the comet Elenin stuff, but, hey, I've only got the information that everybody else has, so all I would be offering is an opinion. And really, I don't know anything about it. I'm not an astronomer, and I can't go up and have a look, so... You know, I can just do what everybody else does and read what's available and make up my own mind.
Yeah, the only thing I can say about it, I mean, I can give an intuitive insight about it, what I feel might be happening, but that's all it is. And, you know, just by the data, this thing seems to be stopping and starting and changing speeds and has other smaller objects orbiting around it. It's not looking like a comet, but there is something very big out there that's perturbing the planet, and every time things align with this this Elenin or whatever's behind this Elenin, there seems to be a massive earthquake or some huge event. And you know, the weather here has just gone bonkers. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. So just being out in nature and attuned to nature and trusting my own inner guidance, basically, my own inner guidance is saying, you know, something's up. You know, there's definitely something in the wind. We are going to be going through major social, economic, and physical earth changes. We're already in the middle of them. And it's not prophecy anymore, or it's not a psychic intuition or anything else. It's statistics.
Oh, absolutely. I can definitely feel something. Like there's something huge is coming. There's some big shift happening right now. There really is. You can feel it. It's been all kind of messed up lately too. I think the last lunar eclipse was incredibly powerful. A lot of people have been feeling like a lot of almost interference in the field, you know, just like static energy almost. Just and I've found that sometimes over the last few weeks, reality is almost, it's almost like wading through molasses or swimming through molasses. It feels thick. I don't know how else to explain it. Sometimes it's quite fluid, but sometimes it seems quite thick. And time seems to be speeding up and slowing down and speeding up and slowing down. It's just been really, really bizarre. And it's been bizarre for almost everybody I know lately.
Yeah, I know. I've listened to, I've had Carl Coleman on the show with the Mayan calendar, and, you know, he seems to just nail it. If you observe the events and look at the unfolding of the Mayan calendar, and he has a different view on it. He said it isn't, you know, 2012. He said we're in the middle of all this right now, and October 28th this year is when the Mayan calendar ends. And I think it's very odd that we go through that comet's tail on October 28th. So, you know, it's kind of an odd synchronicity there.
Yeah, well, what I see at the end of the Mayan calendar, I don't see it as an end, I see it as a beginning, and it has to end before it begins. So,
yeah.
That's interesting. October 28th, he says.
That's
a month after Comet Elena, isn't it? It's like September 26th or something.
Yeah, September 26th, I believe it goes between us and the sun, zipping by us, and which, you know, just if you look at the electric universe, you know, and what's going on there, that's going to create some pretty crazy stuff. But we go through its tail on October 28th, and then November, it's on its way out. So on an inner level, I've been getting a lot of the same information, which is really weird that I got this information before I even heard about Comet Elenin, that by November, we're out of all the garbage. You know, we're actually shifting into high gear and into the next, the next world, you might say. It does line up with that timetable.
Well, there's a lot of energies that are trying to create negativity as well. I mean, it's going to be really easy for people through this period to find themselves getting short with others, getting judgmental of others, getting argumentative, finding reasons to be pissed off, you know? Just to be in a bad mood and to be grumpy. And all this sort of stuff. So it's really important that people don't succumb to that. It's really important that people maintain their energy through this period, because all this grumpy stuff, it's all based on fear. All of it's fear energy. It's all negative stuff. It's all you being in doubt of yourself, and so you wish to be grumpy to get energy from others. You know, it's a disconnection from source. All this stuff is a disconnection from source, and there seems to be some very, very big interferences around at the moment that it is disconnecting people. I'm seeing it all around me. I'm experiencing it myself. I've got to keep reestablishing connection all the time. It's really, really easy to just kind of fall off the train.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that that's going to be going on in the next few months, and it's really, really important that people be aware of it, because being aware of it is 90% of the battle. If you're aware that this is what's happening, then you can pick yourself up all the time, put yourself back on the train. You know, so it's really important. I mean, there is some huge shift coming, whether it's something to do with Comet Elenin or whether it's not, I don't know. I can't say. I can only speculate. It's interesting that this comet is coming at this particular time, because this is an incredibly significant time in history. Whether people want to believe in such things or not, if you feel it, you can feel that it is. Your intuition will tell you that it is. You can feel that the energy field is changing. Time's doing weird things. Everything's strange at the moment. And, pay attention, folks, and stay in your energy, because it's really, really important that you do. And if the worst does happen, if things, if Comet Elenin does create havoc on Earth, it's really important that you don't move into fear through it all. Just wax up the board, jump on. It's a hell of a ride. Think of what you're here for. And you're here to try to, you know, to get through this transition. And the more people do it, away from fear, then the better off the whole thing's going to be, the better off the transition's going to be, the better off it'll be for the collective consciousness as well, the best off it'll be for Earth, the best off it'll be for everything. So get out of the fear in all of it. Even if you are looking for Comet Ellen and coming and you're expecting all these earth changes and all this stuff, be in excitement. Be in anticipation. Don't be in apprehension. Don't be in fear. Don't be in paranoia, because that's the worst thing you could possibly do. You know, and when you understand reality, is there's nothing to fear anyway. There's nothing to fear at all.
Yeah. A lot of times when I'll give out information, you know, on the website, they go, "Why are you promoting a fear message?" And I go, "I didn't even see the fear in it. I just saw it as information." And then people add fear to that message or whatever. But,
well, they do. People tend to look at things in that way from a fearful point of view, from a fearful perspective. It's very important when you're putting out information that you do help people see it as empowering and not something to be feared.
Exactly. Like I put out a thing on our newsletter about the Spain, you know, and how the revolution is going in Spain. And, boy, I got all these comments from people saying, you know, why are you putting out fear messages? Why are you? And I said, there's no, I said, I think this is awesome. I think it's an awesome event. And, you know, I said, look at the signs they're holding up, you know, no more New World Order, you know, banksters go home and no more corruption, you know, zero tolerance for corruption. And I said, I see that as a good thing. You know, people are waking up and figuring it out and deciding they're not going to be enslaved, you know, by this, you know, tyrannical systems that have been put together here. So, you know, to me, it's not,
well,
I mean, I see it as a good thing.
Well, it's great. I mean, it's great that they're doing it in peaceful non-compliance. I mean, we don't need violent revolution. We absolutely don't, but we do need peaceful non-compliance, and that's what they're doing in Spain, and it's great. I've actually received a very, very large amount of emails from people in Spain. I've had people commenting on my YouTube clips, and I've received dozens and dozens of emails via the Crow House from people in Spain. And they're all saying peaceful non-compliance, peaceful non-compliance. Actually, apparently the show's quite big in Spain, the radio show that I do, Surviving the Matrix. And a couple of people commented and said, you actually played a major part in this revolution without even being here, Max. So
yeah,
that's great. That's kind of interesting, but at least that's reassuring and it's comforting as well. I mean, I stand in absolute solidarity with the people of Spain, and it's comforting to know that they're doing it in a peaceful way. They're simply connecting with each other. And I mentioned it on the radio show, and I said, look, if you're out there listening, even if you're not involved, maybe take them some sandwiches, take them some hot meals, take them some water, go and support these people because they're doing it for you. So.
Yeah.
And it's not just in Barcelona, it's all across Spain. It's in every city, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too bad it's not happening here on a major scale. And even if it was, we probably wouldn't know about it, you know, with the way the media is going lately. There just seems to be an energy that's moving through the planet, whatever you want to call it, this whole solar system, that is just pushing everything to the surface and accelerating everything. And the way I see it is, you know, your karma is being accelerated, action reaction is being accelerated, time is being accelerated, the time between the action and the reaction is definitely coming together. And it also seems like, you know, the real definition of Armageddon is the great uncovering, and that seems to be happening on a global scale right now.
Well, that goes back to the externalization of the hierarchy that I think we were talking about last time, that I've been mentioning a lot lately as well. You know, so, I mean, the plan of the New World Order, the plan of the global elite is the externalization of the hierarchy to make everybody see how corrupt the system is, so that the people do unite in solidarity and stand up and demand change, but the people will be looking to the government for change, and then that's when the New World Order will be implemented. But what's happening through the work of people such as myself and yourself and the many people who are speaking out and giving people an empowering message and helping people realize the opportunity that exists in all this, what's happening is that people are starting to look within, they're starting to do the inner work, they're starting to realize that the system is fictional. It's a meme. There's no good putting another ruler in place. The governments are simply our administrative arm. That's all they are. We just need them to put in roads and schools and do things on our behalf to make sure the system functions efficiently. We don't need them to govern us. You know, we need to govern ourselves by following the one law of creation, by realizing that there is no threat from other people. We're all in this together. If we each work to serve the creation, we can create a world that would surpass our wildest dreams if everybody did this. And I think people are starting to realize it, and people are starting to realize that the way to beat the system is to do the inner work and to stop complying with the system. And that's what's happening. That's what we're seeing.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I know from my own experience, I mean, I have held things in my hand that, you know, one object about the size of a pie dish, you know, put out 25,000 watts, and each coil did that. It had 9 coils in it. And amazing device. It was also counter-gravity. It would, if you revved it up too much, it would blow a hole through your roof and be heading towards the sun. So I know we have these kinds of technologies on the planet. Unfortunately, the people that have these technologies that brought these forth have had their labs blown up and been threatened, and it's on the shelf. And I've also seen healing technologies where they've healed almost every form of cancer you can imagine. You know, we've had the cure for cancer since 1920 with you know, Otto Warburg gave us the cure for cancer. So, you know, you see all these things going on. You know, I just used this salve. I had a little cancer on my face from being out in the sun all the time and being down in Mexico. And I put this black salve on it, and it just ate it right up. You know, no chemo, no surgery, nothing. Just a special salve. And you know, these things exist. It's amazing. But as you said before, the powers that be are not serving creation. They're not serving humanity, the earth. They're self-serving. And that's why we're in this big rut that we're in right now.
Well, we are. And you've really got to wonder what they are serving. There's actually another film that was put out recently about a Dr. Brzezinski. Not Brzezinski, but Brzezinski, called Cancer is Serious Business, which was very good as well. It's actually featured on the Crow House at the moment. I think it's online until tomorrow. You're allowed to view it free online until June 20th, I think. But very, very good film, which again shows how curable cancer is. And this is mainstream medicine. This is a mainstream doctor who's come with a gene or an ingredient that he's found in urine. And he's using this to treat cancer, and he's had success with everybody. So cancer is very, very curable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but it's big business, and definitely they don't want to interfere with that business. I was down in Mexico with a clinic down there, and they were doing stem cell implants, chelation therapy, all of these things, and watching people have, you know, amazing healing through these processes. And, you know, I actually send a lot of people down there that are not getting any help from the, you know, the mainstream medicine. But I know that you could take it even further than that with these other technologies I'm aware of and create a healing center unsurpassed. But, you know, as soon as you open your door, you'd have the Gestapo, you know, the FDA breaking down your door and taking all your equipment and you're right back at square one again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's all about supporting Big Pharma. It's all about, cancer is a very, very profitable business. You know, they sell cancer. They create cancer. A lot of it comes from the use of fungicides and all sorts of stuff that they spray on crops. They make create an environment where people are going to get this disease, and then they treat them with things like chemo, which will only ever kill them slowly. And it's a very expensive treatment, and they use that to milk all the wealth that these people have accumulated over their life. And then when they run out of wealth, they say, oh, that's it, you're going to have to let you die now that we've assured your death by giving you all this chemo, you know, because we've destroyed so much of your body. And it's absolutely shocking what they do with cancer, and it absolutely needs to be exposed. I mean, all the people that have supported Big Pharma, all the politicians that have stood against these type of treatments, such as the one you're talking about, such as Dr. Brzezinski's treatment. These people are guilty of murder. I mean, really, it's murder. It's premeditated murder for financial gain. And it can be seen as nothing else. That's truly what it is. And, we really need to do something about this. This is a very serious issue. The human race has so much potential, and we're simply never allowed to reach that potential by this system. Now, this system that has been put in place that we support, which is simply a meme, it's simply an idea. It only exists on paper. It's not real. And yet we let it run our lives and remove everything from us that makes us human. And we've created a society that now we're completely trapped by this society. You know, we need to escape from it. We need to realize that it's fiction and start supporting each other. That's the message I've been trying to give to people for years. It really is the only way we can get by and get out of this is by realizing it's fiction and by supporting each other. Break down the barriers. Stop seeing people as a threat. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because I notice that some people are so brainwashed by the system, by their religion or by their society and their position in society or whatever, that, you know, they will, you know, jump on you like ravenous dogs, you know, when you step outside the system or start doing something, you know, that's outside the box. And hopefully that's starting to change, because what I'm seeing more and more is that the system has done so many people wrong and abused and enslaved and, you know, I can go on and on, that they're now, you know, almost everybody, I'm noticing here in Redneck Central, basically, before I get some calls on that, you know, I go down to the mill to get some lumber or whatever, and everybody is, you know, saying, you know, effing government and this and that, and they're just pissed off. And I'm trying to find one person out there. I don't think I can find one person that is totally supportive or feels good about what's happening, you know, with our system, other than those that are totally entrenched in the system or extremely benefiting from it. And even people in the system are saying the system's a mess. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, people, instead of just wandering around and muttering about the government under their breath, what they need to do is to start supporting each other. I mean, that's the key to the whole thing. Don't ask permission to do it. Just start doing it. Now, surely someone's got enough land to put in a communal garden. Let's all do that and let's all work on that. So we've all got food. So that frees us up from that part for a start. Okay, now let's work on something else, you know, which one of us is a mechanic, you know. Well, let's start doing work for each other and, you know, just helping each other and trading with each other. Forget the system. Step outside of it.
You know? Mm-hmm.
Now, you've got to start on the ground. You've got to start in your local community. You've got to be the change that you want to see. You know, people simply aren't prepared to give of themselves to others and to serve the creation. You know, if you give to others, but don't allow yourself to be taken from, you mm-hmm. know, like give to yourself as well. I mean, if someone's just using you, I mean, you know this, you let them know. Tell them, I mean, you don't allow yourself to be taken advantage of, but you serve the creation. It's really, really easy. If you treat other people as yourself, and if you imagine if everybody in the world started treating everybody else as themselves and everybody in the world started serving everybody around them, well, suddenly everybody around you would be serving you as well, because you're serving all of them and they're all serving each other and we're all serving each other. So everybody's in their natural state of abundance. It's that simple. It's so ridiculously simple that no one will do it. And they all go along with this fictional system. Oh, you can't do that because these rules and this law and this, it's all fiction. All of it's fiction.
Oh, yeah.
None of it's real.
Yeah, we have a wonderful group here that, and we all operate on that principle, and everything flows. It's amazing. And we're all looking out for each other and doing whatever's necessary to keep things going. And, you know, it is amazing how when you dedicate your life to serving creation and, you know, in service to humanity, the earth, all of a sudden people will feel that energy and know where you're coming from and just chip in and help.
Yeah.
We just trade and barter and do all kinds of things. You know, we do accept money donations and things like that to keep the doors open now and then. But, you know, because we are still in that system, unfortunately, where the people do need those little green pieces of paper to function. But, you know, we're kind of stepping out of that system. If the world ended tomorrow, we wouldn't miss it. We would hardly know what happened.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we all do need money, unfortunately. I mean, that's just the way it is, because that's the system we're still in. But the more people wake up to the fact that we really don't need this stuff, then, you know, the sooner we can get away from it. I mean, sure, we probably need something to pass around to, you know, commerce with each other, but we don't need a system like we've got. I mean, they say money's the root of all evil. They say the love of money is the root of all evil, but money in its current form is really the root of all evil because it has interest attached to it, and that's the problem. It's the interest that creates the shortage. Get rid of the interest. So we absolutely have to do this. We have to realize that there's no reason we should be enslaved to a system that we have created to have a society under, it's a system that we've put in place, a set of rules that we will live by as social creatures, and yet the system itself has gotten to the point where it's enslaving the human race. So, we're the top of the food chain here, not the system. The system is created by us, so why are we enslaved to it? People need to think about that, It's like I said before, it's a society that we're trapped by. We've been trapped in this fictional idea of what we have to do with our lives. But we don't. Life isn't about being born and then working for someone else for these little pieces of paper all your life so you can enjoy a few years at the end of your life where you may be able to think about all the stuff you missed because you were running around collecting paper for the rest of the time. That's about what it's come to. And that's not what human existence is supposed to be.
Well, it does seem like this system, the way it operates on even a smaller scale, is that they create these positions of power that are outside of the people, that have some kind of governing powers. And almost whenever you do that, when you create a system outside the individual, they end up abusing that power and misusing that power and betraying a trust. And that seems to just, and that is okay. I mean, that is just standard operating procedure, it seems like, within the system. And when you check that and you said, wait a second, don't you guys work for us? And aren't you supposed to be doing what's highest and best good for the people and following the will of the people? They get very threatened by that. And they said, we were talking about it earlier. The only thing it knows how to do after that is to use force.
Well, yeah, the thing is, it's the system. It's not the people. It's the system. Mm-hmm. The people are acting within the parameters of the system, and they've been taught and they've grown up believing that the way to succeed in business or in politics or anything like that is to make your organization more efficient. So they get this left brain education, they join into the system, and then they work to make the system more efficient. So it's the system itself. And these people can't understand why people are speaking out about them because all they're doing is trying to be successful in their own lives, and the way to be successful is to make your organization more efficient. So it's like the system itself is the problem. It's just that it's an idea, but people think it's real. People think it's how humanity should live. But it isn't. And all you've got to do is look at the planet to prove that. And look at the state of this place. Look at the state of how many homeless people have you got in the average town? Where's all the quality of life gone from Western civilization? It's disappeared because the system is becoming more and more efficient. The system's thriving. The system's having a ball. It's getting control of everything, and it's getting fatter and fatter and fatter. But it needs less and less people to operate. So the people all get discarded along the way. And yet, hang on a minute, the system was created by the people in order to look after the people. But it doesn't do that, it just looks after the system. It's very, very difficult to tell the people within the system what's going on because they're in this left brain reality. They believe that the efficiency of the system is everything. They believe the system is everything. And so it's very difficult to get through to these people because, once they wake up to what's going on, it's like their whole world just sort of cracks apart. Reality isn't what they thought it was, and it's very, very difficult for people to deal with when they're so entrenched within the system. But the problem's the system itself, not really the people,
We've talked a little bit about that. We've been having that situation here, and it's just gone from unbelievable to insane,
Well, it's a completely insane system, but again, even though the system's the problem, the real problem is the individual's failure to face a shadow within themselves that makes them fear this fictional system and comply with this fictional system instead of supporting the people around them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and definitely that fear needs to, I think that fear is dissolving and people are going, wait a second, you've held us down for this long and and through fear and through suppression and whatever. And I think that's all blowing up. It's being pressurized and exploding right now.
Well, it's starting to dissipate. It's starting to dissipate because people are starting to realize that we are all in this together. But I mean, the whole system's designed for people to be in fear. People in cities, I mean, you look, walk down any city street and see how much eye contact there is amongst the people on the street.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's
scared to look at each other because if they see another person, they'll realize that they're human. They'll see themselves in that person. You look into someone else's eyes, you get eye contact with the stranger, and you start seeing yourself in that stranger, and you realize that you're a human being and you're all connected to this human being. It's like there's too much light coming from people's eyes, so we can't bear to look in them. We can't bear to see other people or be close to other people walking down the street because we're too scared of realizing that we are humans having this human experience together. And yet we've created this completely inhuman system where we're all separated and segregated and divided from each other. And the more closer you pack people into a city, the more divided from each other they become.
Oh, yeah. What we're seeing now is basically a system that is pretty much governed by computers. And, you know, they have their little robots in place, you know, which are the people that, as you're saying, believe in the system and think they're doing the right thing. They've been programmed in that direction. And it's lost all common decency, common sense. I mean, you see people getting beaten at the Jefferson Memorial for dancing. I mean, that to me was when you see that, you go, what is wrong with this picture? And there's been quite a few other events that are happening, you know, globally, but just here in this country too. It's, you know, the basic human freedoms, the Constitution, everything has just, you know, been trashed and gone by the wayside. But I do feel that there is going to be a movement to restore that and maybe even make it better. Who knows?
Well, it's got to be done within. It's got to be restored within. I mean, even the police officers that were arresting these people for dancing, I mean, they're just completely brainwashed. They believe the system is real. They see the dancing as a threat to the system. That's the problem, see? You're threatening my reality by threatening my system, the system that I've spent my life growing up to be a police officer, to be a security officer, to wear this uniform. And all they've really got is a whole bunch of occult talismans and sigils all over them, which changes their energy state and further locks them into the system. People are very different when they wear uniforms. I don't know if you've ever put one on.
Yeah.
You put on a uniform, you literally feel different when you wear a uniform on. And the more medals and stripes and stuff you've got on it, the more different you feel. Because these are all occult sigils. They all create energy fields. And so you can't blame these police officers for what they're doing. I mean, marching at the Jefferson Mall, dancing at the Jefferson Monument or whatever it was, that's, okay, interesting statement, but what really does it achieve, you know? I can see that they're trying to make a statement, and that's great that they tried to make a statement, but why, instead of dancing at the Jefferson Monument, why not, go and organize a town meeting and put in a community garden? Something like that. I mean, really, disconnecting from the system is the best way to defeat the system. You know, simply disconnecting from it because it's not real. Even by dancing in protest, you're protesting a system that isn't real. So you're fighting a cloud, you're fighting steam. You need to change reality by acting in a different way. You know, realizing the system's fictional, realizing that if you support your community around you, you can disconnect from the system. If the system doesn't like you disconnecting from it, it's not going to be just you standing up. It's going to be your whole community standing up together. And when the whole community does that, there's nothing the system can do because the system's fictional.
But we can't
do it without the community, though. We need that community more than anything. We need to build community.
I agree. We had we had city planning commissions here. And we had a massive stack of letters of people that just love what we're doing here. We've been here 25 years, you know, no accidents, nobody's died, you know, no major illnesses, anything. This place was a trash dump basically when we got here, and it looks like a national scenic area. It's got ponds and creeks and beautiful gardens and it's just it's turned into just paradise basically. And I asked him that. I said, so maybe you can explain to me how is it, what have we done wrong here? People are thriving, they're healing. You know, here's all these reports of spontaneous healings here. People are in total support. You've got hundreds and hundreds of letters here. The whole town is behind us. You have not one letter in disagreement against us here, but it's you're driving to, close the doors and shut everything else down, just due to some little regulations they made up,
Yeah. And that's the thing. They made them up. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not doing anything wrong. Hang on, let me just write this down. Look, now you are. See, I just wrote down this rule, and I'm sure that you're breaking it. And you're supposed to go, oh, okay, oh, no problem. You know, I mean, these people—they've got no idea. They're so disconnected. The poor little things. They really are.
Yeah, and we even tried to comply with their program and saying, okay, tell us what you need, and we'll just do it. And then so we did what they asked us to, and they still came after. It's just unbelievable. It's like dealing with, people with ill intent and agendas. They're little mini Napoleons, that have a little bit of power. And I think they're all just working out their issues vicariously through their jobs.
Well, they are. I mean, it's all their repressed biological urges and things that they don't get to do, because they're so repressed in their inner selves. And so they get to take out all these urges upon people. And give them a little bit of power over someone, and it doesn't matter if you're not doing the wrong thing. I mean, they need power over you, so they'll create some regulation whereby you can do the wrong thing at any time of the day without even knowing that you did so. And then they can say, oh, now we've got you because you broke this little rule that we wrote on this piece of paper here, even though you didn't know it existed, and we just kind of made it up because we couldn't get anything over you, but you broke it anyway, so, And really, this isn't what we employ these people to do. We employ these people, these councils and these governments to act on our behalf and to make sure society functions well and that humanity is empowered. So by even creating these rules, essentially these politicians and councillors are all operating in breach of trust in order to serve their own egos. That's all they're doing. So people need to say, well no. I mean, I can't see how you could even enforce this law on me. I mean, doesn't the American government, doesn't it swear to uphold the laws of God? Aren't the laws of God defined by the conscience of God? So therefore, how have I broken any of God's laws? It would seem that you are breaking God's laws by even attempting to enforce this legislation on me. So it would seem that what we're actually dealing with here isn't even a legal issue. It's a spiritual issue. So let's approach it from that perspective and let's discuss the validity of your law, seeing as how this government says it's based on a foundation of allegiance to God.
Yeah, I think it has an allegiance to another source, and it's...
let's hold them to that. Let's see what they say about that, because really it is. It's a spiritual issue that you're dealing with. It's not even a legal issue. It's a spiritual issue.
Yeah, that other force might have some scales and horns and maybe a tail. Who knows?
Well, that might expose them for what they really are. Then, But really, I mean, all of these things, it's a spiritual issue. Really, that's what you're dealing with, because you're not doing anything wrong. You're actually helping and empowering creation by your presence in it. And if there's a legislation that's been enacted to prevent you from doing so, then you're facing a spiritual issue.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Trying to get that through their heads is a different story, but it seems like that's where we're going to be going. But, what is, I know we're coming up to the end of the hour. We've just got about 10 minutes left, and I don't know if there's anything you really feel important you want to get across, and maybe it'd be a good time to let people know how they can get a hold of you and look at some of your information.
Okay, well, you can go to thecrowhouse.com is my website. I also do a radio show called Surviving the Matrix, and all that's posted on my website. Excuse me, there's my YouTube channel, which is also accessible from the website, thecrowhouse.com. Everything that I put up there is all put up there for free. The site accepts donations and contributions. If people want to contribute to keep the information flowing, that's great, but nobody's expected to. I really want people to understand the power of giving. I really think that we need to get a gift mentality back into our culture. And so that's what I've tried to promote with the website. I think that all of the problems that we face can be dealt with by promoting that type of culture. I think that if we can all look within, break down the barriers, break down the shadow that exists within and connect with each other, we can soon realize that all of these problems that we face can all be addressed by this one common method, because all of the issues that we face all have a common cause. That cause is corruption within the system. That corruption exists because we turn our back on it. We allow it to exist by supporting a system that is essentially fictional. And that's what I've been trying to say right from the very beginning, ever since I started doing the shows, ever since I started doing the film. Got a new film, should be out soon actually, James. Hopefully,
okay.
I wanted to have it out by June, but that's not going to happen. So hopefully August it will be out by. And that's going to be called Transformation, two words, Transformation, about how we were put into the trance that we're in, how we can possibly escape from it. So I've been working pretty hard on that, and hopefully I'll get that out within the next month or two. I'm even thinking of having July off, actually, off the radio, just so I can work on the film, but I haven't made up my mind on it yet.
Yeah, I think this world needs a film like that more than ever, and I know you have a way of just, you know, hitting the nail right on the head, you know, and cutting through the crap and bringing up the real issues and bringing clarity to things that, you know, in this world of confusion we're in. I think that's why you are so successful, is just by, you know, cutting through the hypnotic trance that we're under and all the confusion and just going right to the heart of the matter.
Yeah, well, there's so much more going on in reality that people don't understand, and there's so much potential that we have to communicate with reality and to change reality by changing our perspective of reality. And the best way to defeat this whole system is to see it for what it is, realize it's fictional, it's just a meme, it's just an idea. And it's all designed to keep us divided from each other. So there's the clue. You know, we've got to unite, because once we unite, the whole system fades away to nothing. It's so simple.
Oh, yeah. You know, I always think about, you know, this whole thing is you have to ask people, say, okay, what do you have against heaven on earth? And just say, is your system creating that? You know, what has this system brought us? And if it isn't creating heaven on earth, which is God's plan, then maybe we should rethink this and either abolish it or fully transform it into, you know, serving humanity or earth versus just a few individuals.
Yeah, you know, serve the creation, be the change that you want to see in the world. That it's so simple that that's the way to do it, you know. We've just been trained to seek elsewhere and to wait till we die, you know, like it's going to be great when you leave this place and go to heaven, or when you ascend to the fifth dimension or whatever you do. And they want people to avoid from, you know, looking to what we have here. You know, the potential that we have here to create an incredible reality simply by realizing that we're enslaved to something that is just an idea. And we're missing out on ourselves. We're missing out on connecting with those around us. And that's the key of the whole thing. If we can do that and we can get rid of that fear within us that divides us from other people, we can change reality in 3 seconds flat. So that's what I've been trying to work to get people to comprehend a little bit. That's been the message that I've had right from the very beginning. And I think we're getting there. I think people are waking up, but I guess it's just got to get worse. It's got to keep getting worse, because without the darkness, we don't have the light. It's just people need to see it as an opportunity. And that's why it's so important for people in the truth movement that are speaking out to provide solutions to people. You can't just provide people with problems. You've got to give them the solutions, because if you're not providing the solution, then you're just putting people into fear, and you're part of the problem, because it's not about fear. It's about empowerment. It's about opportunity. I don't see anything to fear from anything that could be delivered to me by this reality, because there is nothing that can interfere with me being who and what I am, gathering the information that I need to gather and returning to source with it at the end of this life. There's nothing that can threaten that. There's nothing that can threaten my existence. I'm eternal. I will exist after this life. I just won't be in this form. And just having that knowledge really, really helps things. So there's nothing to fear. There's nothing that you know, needs to be done that can't be done within. If we all change within, then we change without, because by changing within, you start serving the creation and helping those around you, and that's all you really need to do. Build community around you, and if it all ripples out around the world, then the whole system fades away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely, I see that too. You know, when you see all this darkness surfacing, it's actually a good thing, because before people didn't even know it was there. They didn't even know it existed. They didn't even know what was going on, you know, behind the scenes. And now that it's all coming up to the surface, you know, I think that's awesome, you know, that people are getting to see it for what it is. And, you know, I guess that's the first stage is just being in total hypnosis and ignorant of what's going on. Second stage is awakening to what's happening. And I guess the third stage is to doing something about it, you know, but, you know, just standing your ground through peaceful noncompliance or just saying what needs to be said in the moment.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference. It really does. I mean, people have to be aware of what the problems are, absolutely, but they have to be aware of what the solutions are, and the solutions that are do the inner work. I always said it goes through, I mean, when you first wake up, it's amazement. It's absolutely amazed that all this is going on. You never saw it before. And then after that, it's usually anger. People get really annoyed that what's going on. And then there's usually fear, because people are scared that the rest of the community isn't waking up, so there'll be fear and frustration. And then after that, there's usually fascination. Fascination that you never saw this before, and the opportunity that you begin to see in all of it, because all of it presents humanity with possibly the greatest opportunity we've ever had to come into the power that we truly have within ourselves. And if all of this bad stuff wasn't happening, we wouldn't ever be aware that there's a problem. So we need to see the opportunity that it provides for us. And it's not to move into fear. It's not to have violent revolution. It's to change that which is within ourselves. That's the key to the whole thing.
Exactly. And I think also trying to get these people to realize, you know, when you do swing that club, you're only hitting yourself. And, you know, you're only destroying your own innocence and your own you know, connection, you might say, to spirit or that, whatever you want to call it, you know, creation.
Well, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a test you can do. Test your strength. You know, test your strength. Get in a state of real love and with something that you really love, and test your strength. And then think of something that you really hate or somebody that you really hate, and let it get in there and really get that going, get that hate going in your blood, and then test your strength again. And you'll find that you're a lot weaker than what you were before. So when you get angry and you get violent with someone, the only person who really suffers is yourself. You can be a lot more powerful if you're in a state of love and compassion.
Mm-hmm. That's why somebody that's drunk and all blissed out can flip on a bicycle and fall off a cliff and then get up and walk away. Or another person that's in total fear will have like four or five broken bones.
Yeah, funny.
Yeah, I've actually seen that happen. I couldn't believe it. I saw a guy totally drunk on a bicycle ride right off a cliff, and, you know, get up at the bottom, go, I'm okay. And, I think anybody else would have had a few broken legs and a broken neck, you know, after seeing what, you know, what happened to him. But he got back up and goes, I'm okay. You know, it's almost comical, you know, when you see it. It seemed like one of those, you know, movies, I guess, you know, that you'd see. But, well, we've got just a minute left, so is there one closing remark you'd like to give to the audience?
Look, I'd just like to say that the best thing you can do is to love each other. It really is. Don't be in fear of anything that's coming. Don't be in fear of Common Element. Even if it does come, just wax up the board, go for the ride, biggest ride of your life. Embrace the opportunity that all of this provides for you. Don't be in fear of anything, folks, because you're eternal. You've got nothing to fear. Just understand what reality is, and you'll see what I mean.
Oh, I agree. Like Muktananda said, you know, there's two reasons for everything, love and lack of love. And if we just hold that focus, we can get through these challenges in the days to come.
Absolutely.
Hey, well, I can't thank you enough, Max, for coming on the show. And it's always a pleasure, and, you know, for your enlightenment on world situations. And we'll have to do it again soon.
Not a problem, James. Pleasure to be on. Thanks for asking me back.
All right. Anytime. Anytime you have something breaking news or you want to get something out there, just let us know.
Not a problem.
All right. Have a great, was it morning over there?
It's afternoon now. Just two.
Okay. All right. Well, have a great afternoon, and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. All right. It's James Gillen with World Puja signing off. Have a great evening.